Good morning. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Thursday, November the 12th, 2020, and this is one more of my ongoing series of podcasts that deal with all aspects of trying to survive as a U.S. person outside the United States. But the United States is one of many countries that is suffering from the costs and unexpected circumstances of the COVID-19. And as a result, we'll certainly be on the prowl looking for more tax revenue, as is Canada, as is all the Western democracies. And this morning, I saw in Toronto's Globe and Mail an article about the viability of wealth taxes. Of course, the article focused on Canada, but we know that in the Democratic campaign, various candidates floated the idea of a wealth tax. And of course, once people start talking about this, it is the first step towards it becoming a reality. And I am joined today, my guest is Jimmy Sexton, who is a U.S. tax person and wealth planner, et cetera, who is originally from the United States, but currently based in Dubai. And he's going to share his views on this and what people should perhaps do in anticipation of this new event. So welcome, Jimmy. Glad to speak with you today.
Thank you for having me, John. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I think you and I always have a lot of fun on podcasts and panels together. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we do have fun. And let's see, we have actually been on panels in all kinds of exotic places of the world. I think we've been on panels together in Cyprus. We've been on panels together in Barcelona.
We have done
various podcasts. So this is great. So I am guessing, just from my past experience with you, that you are probably the type of guy who would be hostile to wealth taxes. Have I got that right, Jimmy?
You damn straight. I'm very hostile towards wealth taxes.
I left out the word very.
Yeah. I mean, I think as you know, as you said, you know, I do a lot of wealth planning, wealth structuring for high net worth people. So they're, you know, the first ones, and then I say first ones intentionally, that are going to be impacted by this. And so, yeah, I'm absolutely dead set against them. I mean, I think, you know, not only is the implementation of them very difficult, I think also it's an unreasonable taking. I mean, it's just a confiscation, in my opinion. I think there's nothing good that would come of them.
Okay. Well, I agree with you, but I just thought that you would put it more neutrally than I might. Thank you for saving me the trouble there, but let's back up a little bit. And why don't we talk about taxation in general and the role that it actually plays in either destroying a country or enhancing the economic growth of a country? I mean, taxation is an awful lot more than, you know, just redistributing wealth. As Charles Adams wrote, taxes, I think, the rise and fall of civilization, and civilizations have been destroyed through taxation. So what do you see as the role of taxation anyway? Let's get back to first principles here.
Well, look, I think the role of taxation in a society, I mean, you obviously need a society to function at some base level, right? You need infrastructure. You want your government to protect you, hopefully, and sort of these basic services that need to be paid for. I think my problem is that government wants to grow into an everything for everybody, right? So rather than government saying, look, this is what we should be providing our citizens and this is what it's going to cost and this is the taxes that we need to collect, what they do, especially in democracies, is you have all these candidates that need to get elected. So they've promised the voters a bunch of free shit that the government can't afford. Then they get into office, they need to figure out how to pay for it. So they pass all these tax laws, you know, to redistribute the wealth. And that's what I find very wrong. The government is not supposed to be this, you know, babysitter caregiver that just takes care for you. I mean, it should be basic services in my view, and then tax to pay for those basic services is more than fair.
Okay, so your view would be that price, the taxes, was quote, Justice, what, Oliver Wendell Holmes, I think, the taxes are the price we pay for civilization, but taxes are not for the purpose of sort of social engineering civilization.
I would say, yeah, I would say yes. That's my view.
Okay, now there are many, many different kinds of taxes, obviously. Now, the thing about an income tax is that it is at least taking something that you're getting.
Yeah.
Right. So you receive some income and you give a portion of that to the government. And in its most basic sense, that's income that you actually receive. But we've also seen to be evolving into a world where the government is pretending that you have received things when you haven't and then taxed it. For example, the guilty rules.
Yep.
Or the transition tax or the exit tax. You know, these
those are just some U.S. ones, right? But at least those taxes, maybe you didn't receive it yet. I'm still against them. Don't get me wrong. I still think they're unfair.
But there's some income out there that's taxed. There's some income.
There's some value out there that you'll probably get at some point. The stuff that I think that's really egregious, and I'll give you a perfect example. I have a client who got investigated by the French tax authorities because he owns a vacation home there, and he only occupies it, you know, like a month a year or something like that. And the French said, well, if this isn't your primary residence and it's not rented out, you have to pay tax on the fair market rental value as if you received the rent.
Imputed rent.
It's imputed rent. And it's simply, you know, because he doesn't use it. And France is not the only country in Europe. I forget what other ones are, but they're not the only country, right? And that's something, you know, that's really phantom made up income. That's you know, just absolutely wrong in my point of view.
Well, an economist would probably say, well, you know, it's the failure to rent it is an opportunity cost to you. And so we're going to punish you for not having realized that income by pretending you didn't pay tax on it. Yeah, that's a really bad problem. But again, you know, you don't have anything coming in to pay the tax. What do you think about estate and gift taxes, another form of taxation?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, they call it a tax, but, you know, I look at it as theft, right? Like, I mean, even if you were to say the income tax or an income tax, not the way it is, but an income tax is justified or correct. I mean, an estate tax or a gift tax is just taxing wealth that you've already paid tax on. Again, I mean, it's pure redistribution of wealth. I mean, it's not, in my opinion, an ethical tax.
All right. But at least it's based on having done something, right? I mean, I agree with you, but at least, I mean, you died, you did something. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you made a gift to somebody, you did something. At least it's still based on having done something, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, hey, you shouldn't have done that if you didn't want the tax.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. So we have, now this is interesting because if we look at the Internal Revenue Code of the United States, we have Subtitle A, which is income tax, Subtitle B, which is estate and gift tax. What are some other taxes? Employment taxes.
You have self-employment taxes. You have, the FICA taxes. Which are, you know, basically the same as the self-employment, but for employees. You have excise taxes, you know, for Americans buy foreign insurance policies, for example. There's an excise
tax. You know, most people don't even know about that. Why don't you enlighten them? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, so the U.S. this is something that I've caught a lot of people on. I mean, there's a pretty complex rule surrounding which policies are subject to this tax. But basically, if a foreign If an American buys a foreign insurance policy that I believe it says if it insures a U.S. risk, there's a 1% excise tax that needs to be paid, and there's a form that you have to file to report that. I believe the only country where there's an exemption to that is Switzerland, where you don't have to pay it, which is why there's so many life insurance companies there that are very popular with Americans. But yeah, so you know, there's a lot of I've seen this a lot with Americans that sort of buy these PPLI policies or these whole life policies, you know, in places like the Channel Islands and stuff like this, and they pay, you know, these millions of dollars in premiums into them, and then at some point realize that they should have paid this excise tax.
Well, again, you know, at least they did something, although that is truly incredible, the notion that, you know, a U.S. citizen living outside the United States should have to pay the U.S. government an excise tax on an insurance policy buys is crazy, but okay. But still, you know, did something, okay. Now there are different kind of those who are in favor of wealth taxes would say, well, you know, we already have wealth taxes, right? No problem. Yeah. We already have them. So what are some existing wealth taxes that come to mind that we have?
Well, I mean, I think definitely the estate and gift tax is a form of a wealth tax, right? Because you, at least in the United States and in most countries, you know, there's an exemption up to a certain level, and then above that exemption, it's taxed and redistributed. So that would definitely, you know, be a wealth tax.
What about property taxes?
Property taxes, I think, are also a wealth tax. You know, you could arguably, you know, in the United States, there's a personal property tax, you know, that's, for example, a lot of businesses have to pay tax on the value of their assets, right? Like the furnishings and stuff. When I lived in Nevada, I used to have to pay a personal property tax on my airplane. So there's a personal property tax component to most car registrations in the United States. Yeah. So I think there's sort of a lot of I think there's one on boats, for example, too. There's a lot of taxes there that are equivalent to wealth taxes.
But all of these things we talked about so far, I mean, you can avoid an income tax by not having income. You can avoid an estate and gift tax by either not dying or not making gifts. You can avoid a lot of you could certainly avoid the excise tax by not buying insurance. You can avoid the property tax. I mean, not everybody has a plane the way you do. I mean, you know, you could avoid that tax by not having
yeah.
Right? You know,
you can avoid a lot of expenses by not having an airplane, not just taxes.
Yeah, is that like boats? I mean, they say about a boat, the two best days in your life are the day you get and the day you get rid of it. Is owning a plane sort of like
that? You know, I don't have the plane anymore because I don't live in the U.S. and there's not so many places to fly around the UAE. But it's definitely, you know, every time you fly it, the mechanic's got to do something to it. So it's definitely, you know, there's a saying that goes, it only takes two things to fly: airspeed and money.
All right. See, but you can avoid that by not flying. But, you know, the kinds of wealth taxes. So far, everything we've talked about, you can avoid, right? You know, maybe you don't want to. It's hard, but you can avoid it. But now they're talking about wealth taxes that appear to be based on nothing but being alive.
Yep.
So in a general sense, you know, although I'm sure they differ, the theory, the mechanics behind a wealth tax that, you know, is being floated in the United States, is clearly being floated in Canada, I'm sure other places. As I understand it is, oh my God, you own something, pay us.
Is that basically that's it? That's basically it.
So
it's based on the value of whatever that thing is, right?
Okay, so the kinds of taxes that we've talked about up until now arguably could be used to enhance production, you know, be part of the process of enhancing production and income in some way or another. But how can a wealth tax be anything but the destruction of assets? I mean, where is the benefit to the economy, to the long-term sustainability of the economy, by simply saying, oh my God, look, you got something, pay us?
No, I mean, I don't think there is a long-term benefit. I mean, I think to a certain degree, right? Like, people need to be able to build up assets in order to build up companies, in order to fuel the economy. And if that's being diluted through wealth taxes, I mean, that's going to stymie the growth of the whole economy, right? Because you're basically just robbing people of their wealth. And a lot of this wealth, and I think this is the major problem with it, is a lot of this wealth is going to be illiquid, right? So, like, there's a lot of people that have a ton of real estate, for example, but not a lot of cash. So what are they going to do? They're going to have to sell the real estate to pay the tax?
Well, and pay capital gains tax on that, et cetera. I mean, this is a real problem. I mean, this is the first thing that we see. This is the problem, I think, with all these what I would call fake income attribution things that we already have. But yeah, I mean, there's no apparent event that's generated any cash to pay the tax, right? So you have to find another way to get that money, no matter how you do it, you're either going to do it by generating another taxable event, or if you have some cash, you're going to have to erode that.
Or you're going to have to borrow, right? Which to me is really sort of offensive, in the sense that, you know, one of the things that I always, you know, one of the things I don't believe in debt, right? And I think a lot of my clients and a lot of people I know also don't believe in debt. And so the theory behind that is, you know, if your property is mortgaged, you don't really own it, right? Because if you don't make that payment, somebody can take it. So what kind of position are you forcing somebody into that's worked hard, that's paid their income taxes, done everything they were supposed to do to purchase this asset? Maybe it's their home with no debt on it, so that it's truly their own home, so that they truly own this asset. And now they're going to be forced to either, if they don't have the cash, which many won't, and even if they have the cash, it's going to get depleted every year they have to pay this goddamn tax.
How does somebody retire? How does somebody ever retire?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're going to have to sell this asset, which they worked so hard to get, or borrow against it, in which case they don't really own it again. I mean, it's just morally offensive.
Well, it's not morally offensive to a lot of people, right? In fact, there are people who have built their academic careers on promoting this type of thing. I mean, what is it that they know that you don't?
Well, I think they don't know anything that we don't. Well, I'll tell you what they know. I think the big problem with academics is they can't make it in the real world, right? So they just have no concept of this. And a lot of times, I mean, especially when you look at like these international organizations like the OECD and stuff like that, you know, a lot of times they are, you know, their organizations or the schools they work for, whatever, are funded by the government. So they're happy to find ways, you know, to tax people more.
Well, I must say that, you know, they're probably the last group of people with, you know, these sort of gold-plated pension plans as well.
For sure.
And for people who don't have those official pension plans, they have to create the unofficial pension plans, which, you know, is basically their asset base.
Yep.
Well, what about the, you know, the whole idea that, well, you know, it's just too much inequality.
So
the only way to solve it, you know, one, we, you know, we recognize this is a problem. The only way to solve it is to make it less unequal.
Well, I don't believe inequality is a bad thing.
I think
it's supposed to be inequality. Yeah, I think there's supposed to be inequality.
Okay. Continue.
I mean, well, I think a lot of the things that have been created in our economies have been created by people that have been striving to, you know, build a huge company that they can sell or to accumulate this wealth and to, you know, do these various things. And I think that, look, if somebody's willing to go out there and sacrifice family and sacrifice sleep and sacrifice all this stuff in order to succeed, why in the hell should this person be paying for somebody who likes to work 9 to 5 and you know, not put in the extra work? I don't think that's right. And I think that it also sort of takes the motivation away that, listen, if I'm going to go out and earn all this stuff and sacrifice all this, you know, different parts of my life to achieve something, only to have it taken away and given to somebody who's not doing that, well, why are you even starting to begin with? I'll just sit on my ass like everybody else. Or you know, not sit on your ass, but, you know, live the comfortable life like everybody else.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, somebody has to work. It might as well be you, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, one could make that argument. But I think that, look, not everybody was created equal, and I don't think there should be equality. I mean, I think that people should be entitled to, you know, and I think the basic question is, I think everybody should be entitled to some, you know, basic government services, like I said, like, you know, protection and infrastructure and, you know, various things like that. But I don't believe you have a right to have a nice life and just have that handed to you. I believe you need to work for the life that you want to have, and it shouldn't be handed to you. I think all of this stuff is these Western societies that have just gotten too goddamn spoiled.
Or more people who vote for a living than work for a living. You know, that's why it's always seemed to me that, you know, democracy has built into the seeds of its own destruction. But, you know, it's always struck me that the governments certainly have the power to make everybody equally poor.
Yeah.
They don't have the power to make everybody equally rich. So maybe when they talk about equality, they're trying to enhance the only equality they can manage, which is to make everybody poor, equally poor. I don't know. But this is, you know, this is something that we have seen through history. You know, what we're actually talking about was what was going on in the 80s with sort of the Reagan-Thatcher era, where, yep, you know, they had these kinds of conversations all the time. And it appears that, you know, perhaps things have gotten to the place where now these conversations are going on again. So now, what do you think the chances are of some form of wealth tax becoming reality in the United States, Canada, and now they've tried this in France, I think. They've actually tried wealth taxes before, and they haven't worked so well. Is that your
understanding? No. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not just France. I mean, it's been tried in a few different countries. I believe Australia tried it. I might be wrong on that, but I think they may have years ago. But I think there's a few different countries I know that in Europe that have tried a wealth tax, and it's been very unsuccessful. I think the only there's a wealth tax in Switzerland, I believe, and that is a fair, it's minuscule. But it is a wealth tax, and it's fairly small. I think it works pretty well. But for the most part, it works poorly. I think the chances of it happening in the United States, I think, are very small at this point in time. I know it's been floated. I mean, Biden is not quite as radical left as, you know, Elizabeth Warren and this woman they refer to as AOC. I can't pronounce her name. And, you know, given the fact that the Senate is still controlled by the Republicans and that Congress the Republicans gain some seats, I think it would be very tough to pass a wealth tax at this point in the U.S.
Now, there hasn't been anything in the Biden tax proposals that I think have even suggested a wealth tax in the United States. Yep. So most of this is, you know, I think coming from the campaign. But in Canada, there has been discussion of a wealth tax.
Yep.
And, you know, that, of course, concerns me a great deal. I mean, I appreciate that you don't live in Canada, but do you have any thoughts on the possibility of a wealth tax in Canada?
Well, I mean, look, I don't know the mechanics so much of the political system there to know what the reality of it being passed is. I think as you said, right, if there's more voters than hard workers, I think that there's a pretty good chance, right, that a wealth tax could pass. I think one of the other risks that is a possibility is, and I think that you see this in sometimes in certain countries where when there's a, you know, financial turmoil, where people say, okay, you know, we'll agree to this tax for a while in order to kind of get things back on track, and then it's going to go away, like in Germany, for example, with the tax that I forget what it was called, but there's like a reunification tax, right, that went to pay for East Germany that was voted in. And I believe it's expiring soon. But I think the problem is with most taxes is once they get voted in, they become very permanent and they
grow. Oh, of course, of course, of course. Well, Canada is at the point where a large number of people are paying income tax at a rate of 50%. They have value-added taxes across most of the country of 13%. You know, there's a whole pile of other things they call fees that are not taxes. I mean, it may be
indirect
tax. The tax rate is like 70% already. And now they're going to add this? I mean,
it's
too
much.
It's way beyond too much. It's simply shocking. And, of course, the problem in Canada, I mean, this is the single best argument against having any majority government in Canada. But in any case, we are into some very interesting years, I think, in terms of the role of taxation in society, and certainly been aggravated by the whole COVID-19 problem. Well, we could pick this one up forever. Any final thoughts on the whole wealth tax thing? Where do you think somebody should live in the world to try to minimize these problems? What are your thoughts? Is North America a good place to live?
No. I think to be quite honest with you, I kind of feel like the West, when I say the West, I would say that's the United States, it's the Europe, and I would include Australia in that as well, and maybe even New Zealand. I think are the economies of the past, right? I think, as you said, taxation can be the downfall of a society. And I think it's headed in those directions, right? I think they've built up these massive governments that are unsustainable from an administrative standpoint, from a financial standpoint. It's difficult to take advantage of opportunities there because of the costs and all the taxes and the compliance and systems that you have to interact with. I believe that the future of the world is in the East. And I think that when you look at places like the UAE, when you look at places like Singapore, when you look at Hong Kong to a lesser degree at this point, but even certain economies in Africa, I think that the future for those seeking opportunity and for those wanting to keep holding on to their wealth and I think the future's in the East.
Yeah, interestingly. You know, the freest I've felt in years was when I spent a couple of days taking a train ride through the Balkans, so it may be that these things go in cycles in these countries that are, you know, sort of recovering from these repressive regimes, Croatia, yep. Serbia, these kinds of places may be good bets as well. All right. Well, this has been very interesting, and we will pick this discussion up again. So thanks very much. And how would people get in touch with you if they wanted to talk about managing their wealth?
So the best way, I have two companies. One is Esquire Group. They can reach us check us out at esquiregroup.com or email us at info@esquiregroup.com. I also have a company called JS Private Advisory, which is for consultations and advice directly from me. It's my private client practice. You can check that out at jsprivate.com or email us at concierge@jsprivate.com.
Will you send a plane to pick them up? Piloted by yourself.
I would tell you, when I used to have the plane in the U.S., I would do that. but nowadays, I expect the clients to send the plane for me.
Okay. All right. Well said. All right. Well, thanks so much. And we'll definitely pick this up again.